Talk Herdy to Me. Taking a deep dive into Border Collies and other herding breeds, helping you play to their strengths, minimize their weaknesses, and understand their quirks. Listen in to learn from leading training and behavior experts on how to set your dog up for success, understand your urban herder more, and hit those training goals.
Hello and welcome back to Talk Herdy to Me, the podcast where we maximise their strengths, minimise their weaknesses and understand their quirks. And today we're going to be discussing tools in training. Now, this can be quite a controversial topic for a lot of people because there's quite a big divide in the dog training community between different approaches and different methods used within training. You have people who are kind of on one side, which is more of the force-free, positive reinforcement based trainers, which is where we kind of sit and where we stand. And then you have the other community, which is the balance trainers, who will use force and certain tools and techniques to get the dogs to behave certain ways. Now, just because somebody is in one camp or the other, it doesn't mean that you can't learn from that person. I know a lot of people who you'll use more traditional training techniques, especially within the sheepdog world. And it's about kind of being able to pick and choose which bits you take. So I can go and do some training with some people or go do some clinics for my sheepdog work. And there's certain things that I think actually I don't really want to do that with my dog. However, I will always come away with another bit of information or another little golden nugget to take away to try or change how I'm approaching my training. So just because someone doesn't necessarily train the way that you want to, it doesn't mean that they won't add value to your training. So what we need to look at is when we're working with tools is how does the dog feel about them? So there are certain tools which are deemed to be more appropriate than others, depending on which kind of side of the fence you sit on. Most dog owners and most dog trainers like harnesses and they like leads and they like collars depending on the dog, but it massively depends on how the dog feels about them. So if you have a dog that really, really doesn't like their harness, I have a little terrier who, second you put anything on her body, a coat, a jumper, a harness, she will go stiff as a board and she will not move for love nor money. She will stand there dead still. And she's always been like that since a young age. She's generally walked on a collar. She's always walked quite nicely. We've never really had to put her on a harness. And for her, a harness is really quite aversive. However, for my dogs, I have two that I currently walk in a harness. And I'll come on to that a little bit later. But they're quite happy. They will put their head through their harnesses. I'll do it up. There's no tension. They're not that bothered. It's just kind of part of the parcel, the same as me putting their collars on. So when we're looking at training tools and how we use them, we need to look at how they feel about them and how we condition our dogs to wear them. So for example, a lot of people don't like the use of head collars. However, if they are properly conditioned, same as muzzles, there's nothing wrong with wearing them. As long as they're not tightening and are going to be restrictive, especially if you have limited mobility or you may be a little bit older and scared about falling, or for whatever reason you feel that you would prefer your dog to have a head collar on, as long as you do the work and you condition your dog to be able to wear that piece of equipment, same as a collar, same as a harness, I see no issue with that. What I have issue with is banging it on the dog and the dog spending half their walk scratching at their face, rubbing their nose on the grass or on the ground, trying to get it off because they don't like it. Now, that is obviously quite aversive to the dog and they're not enjoying wearing that. So in those cases, I don't agree with wearing it. However, a properly conditioned piece of equipment, same as with muzzles. I love muzzles as long as they are properly conditioned. They're not something you can just throw on a dog and expect them to be okay with. It takes time and it takes effort to do this work, but it's not impossible. And especially with the recent bully ban that has come out, there is so many fantastic free resources around appropriately and effectively desensitizing and conditioning your dog to being able to wear a muzzle or something on their face. And this would work, a lot of this training would work as well for a head collar. So if you are thinking of using a head collar or your dog already wears one and they're not 100% comfortable, have a look on YouTube for some ways that you can help to desensitize your dog, because it is 100% worth doing. The next thing we need to look at also is the bit of equipment appropriately fitted? So Harnesses are great, yes. However, an ill-fitting harness can cause rubs. It can be uncomfortable for the dog. And just because a brand is good, it doesn't necessarily mean it will fit your dog well. So because collies are the way that they are, they're bred without a breed standard. And that means you can have a massive variation within the breed. Working line border collies, I should add. Shoreline border collies very much do have a breed standard. But it does mean you can have a massive variation within the breed in terms of their shapes, their sizes, their weights. My dogs alone, I have three collies. My smallest is 12 kg and my largest is 18, 19 kg. That's a huge difference. So it's important that we find a harness that fits your dog well. Another thing to consider is how the harness goes on. You can get harnesses with a three-point attachment. My favourite brand is Paws and Paws Boutique. It's a Leeds-based brand, but they do their tough trail harnesses, and each of my dogs has one of them. They're fantastic. They have a safety buckle around the neck, so if they can't come off by accident, they go around the dog's neck and are clipped on. They're tough. They've got front and back attachment. They've got a handle. I 100% rate and rave about them. And that is what my dogs wear. Before that, I have tried multiple types of harnesses, and there are types that I really like. I really like the rough wear. However, I find for one of my dogs, the rough wear is a bit too big and bulky. She's a very petite little collie. I really like the perfect fit. They work really well because they come in three separate sections that you can size to your specific dog. So they can be really difficult, really good if you have a difficult or awkwardly sized collie. They can be really, really useful and really good to work with. So it's important that you find harnesses that work well. You generally want a Y-front harness if you are going to wear one, just so it doesn't restrict any movement. I personally like harnesses with a front and back attachment, which I don't always use, but they're there if I need them. Because of the issues that my dogs have in terms of health-wise, and Eva has bad hips and stuff, I like harnesses with a handle on so I can help her over things. Just because I can find it works best for me. And when we're out walking on the fells and stuff, if we come to a stile, I quite like having something to grab to kind of hoy them over with. Again, with collars, there's different types of collars out there. There's flat collars, there's buckled collars. One of my dogs wears a martingale. Reason for that is because she has a tiny little pea head, and a normal collar she can pop her head out of. She's got like a little whippity tiny little head. So we do have her on a martingale, but it is appropriately fitted. So when it is at its tightest, it can't pop over, but it's also not strangling her, and it's completely fabric. So we don't have the chain ones just because I prefer how they look more than anything. But again, some people can not like martingale collars because they can be used in inappropriate ways. But it's about figuring out what works best for you and what works best for your situation and your dog. And when we're looking at this topic in terms of equipment and how people use stuff and what they use, it's really important that we're not judging books by covers, and to look at the bigger picture. So I'm going to make a confession here. I use slip leads. When I'm out working my dogs on sheep and things, I find slip leads are the easiest thing to use just to quickly grab my collar and move her where I need to move her and things like that. I also use a slip lead most of the time with Piper. Piper is a pretty damn good dog. She walks nicely on lead. She's very relaxed. She's very chilled. And a lot of the time when we're out walking, she's off lead anyway. So I use my slip lead generally if we're going just in the local area and I know she's going to be mainly off lead, but I might just need to grab her. I will take a slip lead for her, and it is used no different than a lead on a normal collar. It is not used to correct her. It is not used for anything other than for me to just have hold of her more than anything. Like I say, she doesn't pull, and I don't use it as a tool to correct anything, but I will use slip leads, and I find them a really useful tool to use with my dogs, especially like I say, when I'm out working and things like that. With my other dogs, generally if we're just going in local areas, I will use a flat collar and a lead just because they can occasionally pull, but if we're going for longer walks, generally Piper is on a martingale collar and a lead, and my other two are on harnesses. Now, the reason for that is Aoife has bad hips, and I like to have a harness so I can help lift her over things and support her out while she's out on her walk. And Benny, Lorenzo, my youngest, he is only just over one, and his heel work isn't amazing. It isn't perfect. He can do it if I'm training him consistently, And most of the time, I would say 75% of the walks, he does walk nicely. However, he can have tendency to pull a little bit in new environments if there's something really exciting happening or if he's just really super tired. So I'd like to have the harness there as an option if he's starting to get really pulley and I'm really tired and I just don't have the energy to do your training. Because as much in an ideal world as I would love to train my dogs all the time, every walk, I'm human and sometimes I just don't have the energy, I don't have the mental capacity, and that's okay. And a lot of the time with my own dogs, I don't expect perfect 100% consistent heel work until they're a couple of years old. I do expect a little bit of kind of blips and inconsistencies just because of their age and hormones and developmental period that they're in. Piper, on the other hand, she's 3.5 now. I expect her to walk nicely. She knows how to do it. She's well trained. And that is why I will generally just walk her on a collar, full stop, because she doesn't need a harness. She never pulls really. And she's like I said, pretty damn good dog. So this is kind of why I use the different bits of equipment. However, with Bennett, if we are doing the training for his heel work or he's having a good walk, he will be on his collar because I generally like to have that differentiation with my dogs. If we're doing the training, if you're doing the right stuff, you're on your collar. If I'm letting you on the long line, if that's where we're at in our training, or I'm doing like long distance fell walking and you're on like a line and things like that, I'll put you on your harness so you can explore a little bit more. I don't mind if you do have that little bit of tension there. But it's being able to have that differentiation for my dogs. Like I say with Aoife, she's generally just on a harness just because of her health issues and the way she is. I just find it works best for her and it's the most appropriate thing for us to use with her. Now, there are some tools I will not use and these are tools that are designed to inflict pain or discomfort when used. To name a couple, this is kind of your prong collars, your e-collars, electric collars, anything like your citronella collars, things that are designed to make life pretty miserable for the dog so that they avoid that stimulus in future and prevent them from doing that behaviour so they do the behaviour that the trainer would prefer. Now, it has a massive mental effect on the dog. People argue that they don't and that the dogs can have more freedom because they're on an e-collar, which means they will always come back. Now, my argument is I would much rather have my dog on a long line and be happy and have a good relationship and not worried that they might get a shock at some point. I am a massive advocate for long lines. I think people should have them. And there's a big argument recently around the banning that was trying to come in with the e-collars that there was going to be a lot more livestock attacks. Now, as somebody who has sheep, owns sheep, and has come from a background with farming, in terms of my grandparents and things like that, people's dogs should be on lead around sheep. Regardless, your dog shouldn't be on off lead. Even if it's wearing an e-collar and you're like, oh, it's on an e-collar, it won't attack. I don't care. Your dog should be on lead. And it's that simple. Even like when I'm walking out on the moors and stuff and I have my dogs and they are trained on sheep and I have good recall and things like that, I will always put them on lead because you're walking into that sheep's home. That's where they live and you're bringing in a predator. Now, studies have shown that sheep are more wary of dogs that are off lead. Even if they're not coming like near them or chasing them, they're a lot more wary of them when they're off lead than when they are on a lead. I will always respect the farmer and I will respect that sheep and that environment and just put my dogs on lead. Even though I know I can call my dog off and she won't particularly chase, I won't even do it. I won't even inflict that on those sheep or that environment. So I think when people are using this argument, it's irrelevant. Your dog should be on lead regardless. And like I say, with other bits of equipment, it's massively how you use them. So I said earlier that I do use slip leads and yeah, I do, but it's how I use them. They're basically just a piece of rope connecting me and my dog. I do not use them to correct my dog. I do not use them for training. They are just a bit of equipment to make it easy to slip over my dog's head while we're working, while we're out on walks. I might just need to grab her for a couple of minutes. She can then go back to having her off-lead freedom or doing her work. It's a lot easier than trying to fiddle with the buckle and stuff. And it just works for us and our setup. I'm not recommending everybody use them. Especially if you have a puller, I wouldn't recommend using them at all because you'll just end up with a dog that's choking itself. And that is not the thing that we want. What we want to do is actually focus on training the dog to do the behaviour. Other bits of equipment that often get overlooked are things like your clickers and your treat pouch. Like, I love clicker training. However, I can find for day-to-day work or within rehabilitation cases that working with a clicker out and about in public, when you're trying to manage a reactive dog and a lead and a treat pouch and everything else, it can kind of, it's another extra bit of equipment. So I generally use your marker words and things like that in those instances. However, I love to clicker train my dogs at home, especially if I'm doing like trick work or precision work. I think it's a really good way, and it mainly can make the dog think about what we're doing. I do a lot of shaping with my dogs, and clickers are perfect for that. If you haven't had a go with them, I highly recommend, although I have found that some collies can be quite sensitive to the sound of the clicker. If you find that you have a dog that is struggling with it, you can try dampen the sound down, so wrapping it in a sock and putting it like that, or you can get certain brands of clickers that have like a volume control on the, how loud the click is. But if you find that your dog is struggling with the sound itself, just be mindful of that, because that is something I've seen within collies. The other thing I use on most of my walks is a treat pouch. Now, I'm a massive fan of like bum bag type treat pouches. I think they work really, really well. Again, a brand I really, really like is the Paws and Paws Boutique all-in-one bum bags. They're big enough to have like toys, treats, phone, keys, everything in. They're waterproof, they're really durable, they're really well made. I highly recommend them. I also have a couple of other bum bags that I use that I've just picked up from TK Maxx, and they're like a walking style bum bag, and they have like a cup holder and other things on them. And I just find that they work really, really well. They wash well, as well as you can get other types of treat pouch that kind of go on your hip and things like that. But I tend to find if I'm doing long distance, like walking with my dogs, that having a bum bag just is a little bit more comfortable. It doesn't hang as much as some of the other traditional treat pouches do. But you generally want to find something that's a little bit bigger than you potentially would like the look of, just because you want to be able to make sure you can get your hand in and out nice and easily. You can have a good amount of rewards in there. I generally have multiple types of rewards, so I'll always have like a couple of tuggies, maybe a ball or something like that in there as well, just so I can, depending on the dog and what they're doing and what they need in that moment, I can change my training and my reward systems to be appropriate for the dog and for the environment at that moment in time. But I suppose what I'm trying to say with this episode is, it all comes down, in regards to the tools and what you use and how you use, it comes down to how you use them. So there are tools that some people you should never use. For example, the slip lead, they can be quite controversial. However, for me, it's how you use that piece of equipment. Again, muzzles and head halters and things like that, they can be seen as aversive, and you can get certain harnesses that are aversive because they tighten when the dog walks, or if the dog pulls, they tighten around their ribs and stuff. So just because like a certain bit of equipment has been labeled good or bad, it doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't use it. You should look at how you're using it. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.